Let us learn the Gadita by Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky on Parshas Yisrael on the piece called Va'atem. Ha'aretz Rasha V'Gosha V'Bikurei HaMamlachti Shal Nisi Arzeis HaBris Jimmy Carter. When Eretz Yisrael was visited with a state visit by the former President of the United States, Jimmy Carter, so Eretz Yisrael went crazy. They went into, it was a big covet for them. Everybody was talking about him. Kaisrei Sanak B'Tainis, there were banner headlines all about it on the front pages of all the newspapers in Israel. Umakim B'Rosh HaChadoshes, and the head of the news hour was all filled with reports about his imminent arrival. Avtocha La'orech HaMaslel, the Shibush Sidrei HaTenua, all about the security along the stretch of highway that he was going to be traveling on, and how everything was changed as a result of the traffic directions. The flow of traffic had to be rerouted. Alisi ba'isam yamim lebeis marner of Shach Zatzal. During that period of time in Eretz Yisrael, I went to visit the Hasar of Shach. One of the beautiful things about this sefer is Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky, like I said in previous Vaden, he had a very close relationship with great men. He was close with the Chazon Ish, he was close with the Steifel, he was close with Rav Shach, Rav Shalom Shvadroni was very close with, and Yibad al-Chaim with Rav Chaim Kanievsky. And so he peppers all of his pieces here with these little vignettes about how he goes to different Gedalim and hearing the Gedalim's knee-jerk reaction, their instinctive reaction to the news, which is so telling and so informative. So when I came to his house, V'kibal Pane Meshuasha, he gave me a nice welcome, and he said, Emerly, Shal, Be'rachta Hayayim Birchas HaShachar. So Rav Shach asked me, did I make this morning a Birchas HaShachar? Tamati Mashel, of course I did. Uve'rachta Birchas Shalei HaSanigai. Did you make the Bracha of Shalei HaSanigai? To me, Hasi Gavra. So I was even more confused. Al Micha Shavta Kishabe'rachta. Who did you have in mind when you made the Bracha of Shalei HaSanigai? Thank God I'm not a guy. Who did you have in mind? Al Mi, who did I have in mind? Al Apeilanim. Harusim, Almiloya, the Polish Gayim and the Russian Gayim, all of the low Gayim that would be involved in pogroms and Cossacks and drunkenness and brutality and vandalism. Those are the Gayim that I think of when I say Shalei HaSanigai. So Rav Shach says, Ani Beirachti Al Carter. When I said Shalei HaSanigai, I wasn't thinking about the Pyrim, about the low-class Gayim. I was thinking about the Spitz guy, the greatest guy in the world, person has the coolest job, the President of the United States, Jimmy Carter. That's who I think about when I say the Bracha of Shalei HaSanigai. Amar, Atam Mevin Maravusa Lahayde Shalei HaSani Mutzik Rusi, I Fire Plaini, Iker Sine Eved Kushi. He says, what's the Chiddush? You think that that's the Kavan of the Bracha? When you make a Shalei HaSanigai, that you're thinking about the lowest denominators among civilization and the Chinese labor and the black slave and the... That's not a Chiddush. Nobody wants to be them. Aval Kisha Aretz Roy Eshes Minasiya HaMatzama Gedayla Ba'ilam. But when the Eretz Yisrael is quaking from the president who has he's the leader of the free world, he has the most power in the world. Margiz hamamlachis, he makes kings and kingdoms shake. Shebiyadav atzma kai rabba v'akam achdiv ma'isa, he has all the power in his hands. And everybody is mechanifim, everybody wants to be on his good side, buttering him up. They are petrified of him, and they all want to get in his good graces. That's the Spitz job. Everybody wants to be president of the United States. Right? You see what's going on and how many Democrats are running to be president, all running against each other, tooth and nail. who would want to do that? You know how hard it is to hang around in Iowa for 2 years and eating corn dogs with a local guy and just like pressing the flesh with that and for nothing. And then in the end, they don't even have the app breaks and they can't even get it straight after all that time that was wasted. It's not an enjoyable process. It's awful. You have to stay in hotels or hotel rooms. You never can go home. You're always like worried and you always have to be ahead of different stories and come up with a perfect response to different questions, debates, and raising money. It's a, who wants this? The answer is everybody wants it. Not everybody, but a lot of people want it because this is the coolest job in the world. You get to fly in Air Force One. You get to ride in the Beast. That's the presidential limo, bulletproof limo. You get to stay in the White House, and wherever you go, like they roll out the red carpet for you, and you're very powerful, and you're set for life. Everybody, for the rest of your life, they play Hail for the Chief every time you walk into the room. So it's a pretty cool job. And yet, says Rav Shach, as cool as the job is, v'ani eini muchan l'schalef imay, I would not change with him for a second. You could give me all the money in the world. I don't want to be Jimmy Carter. Lehefach, ani bozloi, eifahu veifani hu goy vani Yehudi. He says, I'm like a little bit. I feel bad for him almost, because look where he is and look who I am. He's a guy. At the end of the day, he's a guy, and I'm a yid. Not that I'm Rav Shach. Not that I'm Rashi Vapanovich, not that I'm a Gadol HaDar, not that I'm the author of Avi Ezri, just I'm a Yid. We all should have that pride of being a Yid. And sometimes we have to ask ourselves, do we? Do we feel that way? Do we really feel that we're happy that we're Yidden and that we're proud to be Yidden and that we would not change it for anything in the world? I remember years ago I had a Talmud who was a Ger. And he came over to me one morning, and he told me that something, he was a Ger.
Was it Friday?
Was it Friday that he came to me?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Because that bigger problems.
Yeah, but I didn't even tell the story.
I know it from Cleve, but I
didn't. You know the story? So he comes over to me and he says he was from for like a good couple of years, and he said, Rabbi, I have a big problem. I said, what's the problem? He said, there was some issue that came up with my geirus, and I might not be Jewish now because my geirus is in question. I don't remember exactly what it was, one of the rabbis, something funny with his first geirus. And he said, so I have to like hurry and like, you know. And I said, whoa, slow down a minute. You mean to tell me you're not Jewish right now? He says, yeah. I said, so, you know, McDonald's is having like, where are you running? Like, he says, are you kidding me? He says, I don't want to not be a Yid for one second. He was rushing to be back a Yid or to make sure that his geirus was good again. And that's an incredible thing. That means that you really believe that. You really want to be a Yid. Many of us, I think we're Yidden because we were born Yidden, and Baruch Hashem, we're not complaining. It's a great thing to be. But, you know, I don't know, if I was a guy, I'd be a guy. But if you're a real Jew and you really feel proud of being Jewish and grateful for being Jewish and lucky for being Jewish, then you wouldn't trade with any guy in the world. It could be the greatest basketball player, it could be the greatest rock star, the greatest athlete, the greatest movie star, anything. I don't want to be them. I don't care how cool they are. I don't care how good looking they are, how seemingly great a lifestyle they have. I'm just happy being a Yid. Not saying Shalei Asani guy on the Prasta guy that you pass by, on the street that has no life. You take the guy with the biggest life, the greatest celebrity, the greatest money, the greatest mansions, the greatest everything, Bakal Mikol Kol, Gashmius, whatever they have, and you say, that's who I have in mind, Shalei Asani guy. Oleinu l'shabeach l'adein ha'kael, l'aseis gedula l'yeitza b'reishis, Shalei Asanu k'gaya ha'rotzais. This is what we say in Aleinu every day. What does it mean? Shaloya sonu kigaya ratzis. You did not make us like the nations of the world. Veloisa manu kimishbachaisa adama. And you didn't even, you didn't place us like the families of the earth. Meaning you made us different. Shaloisam chalkenu kam. You didn't make our lot like theirs. Or you didn't put our lot with theirs. Vegarlenu chalamainam. And you didn't put our destiny is not their destiny. Our position in life is not their position in life. We are inherently different. That's what Aleinu is. And Aleinu is the act of great appreciation to the Rebbeinu. Aleinu l'shabeach. It's an act of, it's just a prayer that speaks to how grateful we are. About what? We're grateful over the fact that we're different than Gayim. Kivan shekach sha'altiv. So if that's the case, I asked of Shach, why are we saying the bracha in the negative? If it's so great to be a yid, and you don't want to be anything but a yid, so why doesn't the bracha go? Why don't you say in the positive? I didn't say you didn't make me blind. I said that I have the other psukim, the other brachas, or many of them were said in the positive. Why over here are we going shaloyasani guy? So chiyuch es chiyucha nifla. Rav Shach smiled with his amazing smile. The Amar, I Rav Yaakov halayatim in a vardik. You're a musernik. You're a nevardiker. Nevardikers were known for really solid muser. How do you ask such a question? What's the answer? When I say I'm not praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I'm a Yid. I'm praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you didn't, I'm grateful that you didn't make me a guy. Of Elias Yisrael, Elias Yehudi, Zuhavadesenu Shalonu. If we would say that you, Shasani Yisrael, that's not really a fair thing. Because you know who makes me a yid? I make myself a yid. But the way I make myself, it's not fair to say Hashem makes me a yid. A person has to build themselves up to be a yid. And that's our avaida in life. V'niknes b'amalvi, it's not easy. You have to acquire it with great amal and great yigiyah. B'chal mitzvah anu yais yudim. The more mitzvahs that we do, the more a yid that we are. B'chal daf gemara anu yais yehudim. The more dafi gemara we learn, the more Jewish we are. K'fi shagemara dereshu shmartim eschukais v'asisem aysam. You have to keep my commandments and v'asisem aysam, and you will make them. What does that mean? Al tikri aysam el atem. Ki ilo asisem es atzpa. Utz v'asisem atem. You want to make yourself, you know, you build yourself up, just like you go to the gym if you want to work out your body and you want to build up your muscles. So the way to build up the yid that you are is by working out those ruchniyistic muscles. You learn Torah, you do mitzvahs. The more identifiable you are as a yid, externally, internally, what you do with your day, what your goals are, what your shivas are, what your drives are, all of those create who you are. Meaning, it's not enough. If you're wondering, I don't know, I'm really not so into being Jewish. I mean, I'm happy, I guess, that I'm a Jew, but I don't know. I'm open to other cultures if that would be the case. If I wasn't a Jew, I'd be fine with that also. So the reason why we might have that attitude is because it's our fault. Because we are not building up the strong muscles that we need to have that Jewish pride. That's something that we don't have. And it takes a lot. Rav Shach was a person who his whole life, he spent 90-100 years learning, davening, and getting close to the Rabbeinu Shlom. So he was distinctively Jewish. He was pure Jewish through and through. And he loved being Jewish. And Jimmy Carter wasn't in any way interesting for him to switch places with. He just wanted to be a Yid. How did that happen? Naturally? No, it didn't happen naturally. He built himself up. Shasani Yisrael is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made me a Yid. That's not true. Technically, I'm a Yid because biologically, genetically, I'm a Yid. But who's really making me a true Jew? That's me. I make a decision every day. Do I want to be really Jewish or do I not want to be Jewish? Do I want to sit in the Beis Medrash and learn? Do I want to go and daven geschmack? Do I want to do chesed? Or am I busy with sports and with news and with ball and with video games and all the other things? And we wonder, like, I was busy with that 90% of my day, and I don't know why I'm not proud to be a Yid, because you're not working on being a Yid. If we would spend time learning and davening, doing what the Rabbeinu Shalom wants, doing his Aveda, then that's how Gedolim are made. Gedolim are built not from, you know, just wasting time. They're, every minute of life is precious, and they maximize their time, and they build their Yiddish muscles. Ukeshenayin nira, shezeu sha'amra HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'am Yisrael l'fnei Matan Torah. This must be what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Klal Yisrael before Matan Torah when he said, V'ata, now, im shamaya tishmu b'kayli, if you listen to my voice, ushmarta emes brisi, and you keep my bris, and you will be for me a school like a treasure from all the nations. Because all the world is mine. And you should be to me a kingly nation, a priestly nation, a holy nation. These are the words that I want you, Moshe, to repeat over to Klal Yisrael. The Rechaim HaKadosh. The Rechaim HaKadosh asks Sarach Ladas, Lama hutzra chleimer va'atem? Why does it have to say va'atem? Kivan shad ata lahem hayimidaber. Of course, he was saying one long sentence about, he was talking to Moshe Rabbeinu to quote to Klal Yisrael, shmartem es brisi v'yisam l'skul. That was all to Klal Yisrael. So why does it have to say again, va'atem tiyun limalachas kain? Why that word va'atem? That's the Arachayim HaKadosh's kasha. V'chenik sha'amalbim yuim b'teretzayim. See what they answer. Ula Amr says, Rabbi Yaakov, and see, this is the pshat. Yesh kan shte dargis. There's two madregas when it comes to being a yid. Ha'achas l'leinu l'shaveach l'denako. L'asei skadu l'oli etzah b'reishis. Shle yasan g'ayah ratzis. Shle yasman g'mishchas adam. Zupul as HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us. He makes us, he separates us from the Gayim. That's definitely true. That's something that the Rabbeinu Shalom does uniquely. We're a yid, they're a Gayim, and we have to separate from each other. There's a famous quote from the Beis Halevi, I believe it was, who said that, or maybe Chaim Lajner, that when the Gayim, when Yidden don't make Havdalah, when Yidden don't make Havdalah, then, no, when Yidden don't make Kiddush, the Rabbeinu Shalom makes Havdalah. That means that when we're not Mekadesh ourselves, when we don't sanctify ourselves as being proper Yidden, then the Rabbeinu Shalom has no choice but what? To make Havdalah. What does it mean, make Havdalah? He has to separate us from the Umas Haolam. That's what that's what the Beis Halevi writes about, is actually Gemara in Pesachim. You wonder why it is that throughout history you find all of a sudden that throughout history constantly the Yidden are like kicked out of countries all of a sudden. It's amazing. You know, you think like you go to England, you think it's a nice place. They have like these guys with the big fur hats and, you know, they're marching and it's, you know, a lot of fun to be there. And you go to the Tower of London and Madame Tussauds, it's a great country, England, right? Study the history of England. You'll see that many times Jews were like just either killed there or they were evicted from England. Like they weren't so nice to Jews. Germany, we know. Germany throughout the ages, many, many pogroms and crusades and killing Jews. Like it wasn't, the Holocaust was like the great, that was the climax. But that wasn't the beginning of the problems in Germany. Germany, if you go back to the Middle Ages, there was every few years in all the little hamlets of Germany, just one night they would like just basically massacre a whole town just for fun, or they would burn down the shuls, or they would kick them out of the country, and it was terrible what was going on in Germany throughout history. Then they, you know, then the economy would plummet, so they invite the Jews back, and then again the patterns of history, like Meshech Chachma speaks about. But why is it? Why is it that Jews are picked on so much? Why, we're nice people. We do a lot for the economy. We're not unpleasant people. We're pretty good people. We're not people that are breaking into people's cars, and we're not people that are vandalizing and spray painting the subways. Or what are we doing wrong? Like, why do Gayim hate us so much? Ever wonder that question? And it's rearing its ugly head again. You see what happens in Jersey City, and you see what happens, in Pittsburgh, and you see what happens all around the country. You see what happens all around the world, in France and England and whatever. You can't walk out with a yarmulke in Europe. And why do they hate us? What do we do wrong to them? Because of Eretz Yisrael, we have the State of Israel. That was since 1948. This is way before 1948. They have had big beefs with us. The answer, says the Beis Halevi, and it's really Gemara and Psachim, is that it's for our own good. Whenever we are too close to the Gayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to make Havdalah. When we make Kiddush, when we don't make Kiddush, we don't sanctify ourselves. We get really chummy with the Gayim, and we think this is our Yeshua. That's the irony. We think, you know how we're going to make sure to be in the good graces of our host country? We're going to schmooze it up with our neighbors and go to New Year's Eve parties and go to Kratzma parties and give them gifts for their birthdays and eat with them and drink with them and make nice with them. And then they're going to love it. That's the worst thing you could do. Whenever that happens in history, first of all, those very Gayim that you were kissing up to, they resent it so much. They don't mind Hasidim. They don't mind people that keep distance from them. But when you start ingratiating yourself into them, that's when they really take umbrage of them. That's when they act up. Why? It's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says the Gemara, almost like puts it in their minds that they have to be aggravated by the Yidden, and they have to then get them away from them. They have to be revolted and push them away in complete separation. And that's the way it is in the history of the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to avoid any kirva, so he makes Gayim repel the Jew. And so there's two ways of doing this, of making separation. First of all, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does the first step. So he makes us different. He didn't make our chelik their chelik. He didn't make our gayel their gayel. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's job. Shalei asani gay, v'yisem liskul mikolamim. That's one thing. He didn't make us a guy, that's true. But then there's another phase of these psukim. After saying that you have to be, you're different than the Gayim, then it says, v'atem to you, manlich mamlach eskayim. You have to make yourself something special. To you, li mamlach eskayim, and mishar se Hashem, v'gay kadosh, li es Yehudi. You have to make yourself into that holy nation. You have to make Kiddush to be a Yid. Bal maila v'darga. That's our response. Don't wait for God to do that. God is not going to make you a super Jew. God is not going to make you suddenly somebody that's very holy, very pious, very... He makes you not a guy. That's where you start out from. You start out, you're not... That's itself a tremendous thing. He puts you very high up, but now you have to climb the rest of the ladder yourself. And that's really the difference between each and every person in the world. Every Yid is different based on how much they themselves climb the ladder. People that, just don't do anything and they just like say, okay, I'm different, that's fine, but that's not the way you're going to really be able to appreciate being a Yid. The only way that we could really appreciate being a Yid is if we do it ourselves. Don't wait for God to give that Jewish pride, and Jewish pride doesn't mean anything unless you do something yourself about it. What do you do about it? You make v'atem tiyin l'melchus kaim. You have to make sure to v'niknes me'lel v'amal v'yagi. It's a lot of work because it's a responsibility. It means you got to do something. You got to go to the gym every day. You ever join a gym and, somebody told me once that the gyms, if they would have, I'm not talking about the Lander gym, I'm talking about, but that's probably true also. If you go to a regular, let's say there's a kosher gym, if every single person that signs up on New Year's Eve, with the New Year's resolution that they're going to work out every single day or a few times a week, would come, there would be no room for anybody. Every single bike, every single elliptical, every single whatever it is, treadmill, there would be like a line at the door, for there's so many members. There's thousand members, only like maybe 100 machines. But they know, the people that own the gym, that what happens is you sign up, you have every intention, and what happens? You go maybe one day, 2 days, then it's snowing, then it's raining, then you're lazy, then you're not feeling well. Before you know, you just don't go anymore. And it's the good, it's really the guys that you go to the gym, you see like they're mamish working out and they look good and they're buff and whatever. Those are the guys that are masmidim. They go every single day, rain and shine, every morning they're there and they're doing it. And the people that are shlubs, they signed up, but then they didn't do it. And in a spiritual way, that's very true also. The people that are really G'dayli Yisrael, tzaddikim, chassidim, those are the people that they're excited about their Yiddishkeit. Every single day, it's like they wake up early, they daven, they do a daf, they're on fire. Sometimes you find these people and they make you feel so guilty because you're in yeshiva and you're supposed to be learning, you're a rabbi or whatever, and like you're supposed to be the one on fire. And then you find these balabatim and they're like making extra chavrusas, like, you know, at night, in the morning, and after night, and they're waking up basikin, and like, you know, and they're doing this, and they're doing dirshu, and they're doing zichru, and they're doing, like, you know, they're doing every single program and every single thing, and they're like, whoa, you know, I don't care that you're doing it, but how do you get so motivated? How are you so pumped up to do that? That's like the guy that goes to the gym every day. He's pumped. He wants to do it. He just is thirsty and hungry to be great. And then there are people in life that are, you know, they're just, okay, fine, I am who I am, and that's it. And so they don't steig, they don't learn, they don't daven as well as they could. They're whatever they were, they will be. This is the way I am, this is the way I'm going to be. I was brought up in a modern Orthodox home or in a shul that talked during davening. So that means I have to talk during davening. I never learned. I never will learn. I never was a nice guy. I never will be a nice guy. So that's basically that's the zhlub that doesn't go to the gym after he bought membership. You're a member. You're a member. You're a card-carrying member of the Jewish people. But that doesn't mean that you look, you know, like you look good spiritually. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you a membership card. You're a member of the gym. Now what are you going to do with it? Are you going to use the membership? Are you going to work out every day spiritually? Are you going to really get yourself pumped and excited and into it? Or are you going to just say, nah, you know, whatever. I appreciate the membership. Thanks for being it makes me feel good that I'm a member. And I could say, Aleinu Shabeach, thank you Hashem, Shalom Hasani Gai. But in terms of Shasani Yisrael, am I really the full Jew that I could be? Is this the way I want to be spiritually? Am I good or am I schwach? Am I complacent or am I pumped? And I think in Eretz Yisrael, I've noticed, you don't have to be a mashgiach in yeshiva to notice this. I think it's a pretty simple observation. But a lot of guys, like in Eretz Yisrael, they're super pumped. And they're into it, and they're learning, and they're steiging. They want to chaz, they want to learn, they want to know, they want to write, they want to do everything right. And then they come to America, and they, with all the best intentions, they start off really stark. They, you know, they don't want to fall, but then, like, you see, it's sad. You see, like, you know, the first morning in davening, the place is packed, and guys come to me, Rabbi, I don't have a seat. I said, just bout, just wait, give it a few days, give it. We're gonna be fine. But night's here, I don't have a. Don't worry about it. You'll be fine. Plenty of room. Is that a bad thing to say? It's just the reality. The reality is that the first day of the Zman is like the first day after New Year's. Everybody's in the gym pumping and going, and like first day resolution, they're good. You know, it's like the first day of your diet, you know, you're perfect. The second day, you know, you see like a milk munch in the cabinet, and you're like, you know, looking at it funny, or it's looking at you, it's winking at you, and like you put it in your pocket, maybe I might need some energy a little bit later, and then like, you know, by the third day, you're just like, you have four milk munches in your pocket, and a couple of Twizzlers in your pants, and like, that's the way it goes. It's just that, you know, when in Israel, you're pumped, come back home, schwach, off the elliptical, off the radar, off the everything. But even though that is the natural tendency of human beings, when we're not in a perfect environment, we're not in utopia, things tend to slip. We have to try as best we can to fight it. We can't just give in. We have to fight the good fight. And there are people that they actually come back to America and they grow here. They like the adversity. They like the challenge. Those are the guys that go to the gym every day, stay on the diet. They're perfect. But most of us are not that way, unfortunately, and we have to really, really swim against the tide to get there, and it's hard, and that's what he says. It's not acquired easily. It's only ba'amal v'yagia. You need a lot of push and a lot of ambition and a lot of striving, but that's what a Yid is supposed to do. Yidden were able to keep mitzvahs in Auschwitz. They were able to do the impossible throughout history. In the most of it, we're living in great times. I mean, Bli Ayin Hara, this is a time that, like, probably Yidden were dreaming to live in such times. It's like Mashiach times. We have everything. What are we lacking? I mean, personally, obviously, we all have our things, but I'm just saying, like, nationally, it's a great time to be alive. You want to go back to the times of the Rishayim or Middle Ages or the, you know, or even 200 years ago, there was no indoor plumbing. Every time you had to go to the bathroom, you had to put your winter coat on, go out to this outhouse and, like, freeze to death. And, like, you know, you probably stopped eating just so you don't have to use the Beis HaKisa. It's just easier. But we're living in times of central air conditioning and heat, and everything is perfect. Climate-controlled cars, you know, you can have 1 degree and one type of temperature. The guy sitting on your right can have another, and the guys in the back have another. We're so spoiled. We have everything. You have sushi, you have pizza, you have everything. And so, in a way, that's a tremendous bracha. In a way, it makes it difficult, because when you get spoiled, it's not always so good for our ruchni. Sometimes to not be spoiled is better. But we'll take it. This is a good time to live. But we have to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu that even though He gives us so much, that doesn't make us fat and lazy. It makes us still driven. We still want to give the Rabbeinu Shalom what we owe Him, and that's being the best Yidden that we could be. And in Mitzvah Hashem, we will.